Welcome to A Father's Heart with Dr. Phil Godeau, Dr. Brenda Godeau. We are a family-friendly church that teaches the Word of God so you can live an effective Christ-centered life. This is where the Word works when you work the Word.
Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter. Now, we've been on a series. We started it on New Year's Eve night for this year. If you can put the logo up on the screen for me, please. We started it on New Year's Eve night and starting to teach concerning the area of these areas of the living a kingdom principles to successful relationships. Everybody say that. Kingdom principles to successful relationships. How many of y'all interested in having a successful relationship? Listen to me. Everybody in here has been devastated behind having the wrong relationships. Everybody's been touched behind wrong relationships. What we got to work on is being better relationship people and being able to how to manage those relationships. Because anytime you're in a relationship, and I'm specifically dealing with marriage today, in marriage, there's going to be conflict. And conflict is a part of every relationship because the devil's going to make sure that there's going to be some conflict. But what you don't do is run from conflict. You work through conflict. You got to work through conflict to make things happen. A lot of people have been devastated. Children have been devastated because of not understanding that a conflict is a part of marriage. It's a part of every relationship, and so we have to really work through it. Now, dealing with life after divorce is one of the things that I'm primarily talking about, life after divorce, because so many people have been divorced and so many people have been devastated. Now it doesn't take anything to get a divorce. People just say, well, I just don't want to be married no more, and break off the relationship, walk out and get a divorce. You can get a divorce for anything. What do they call it? They got prenuptials, and then they have exactly what that is. And I'll just say, I don't like it. I don't want to be married no more. Just walk away from a relationship. And never really thinking about the devastation that comes through that walking away from that relationship, about the person, yourself. Even though you are selfish, even though you have the wrong motives, even though you sometimes might be a coward to be able to deal with that, but you walk away from it, and then you leave that person, and you don't even realize the devastation that's going to cause you down the road. You never get away when nobody wins in a divorce. I'm going to say it again. Nobody wins in a divorce. Because the enemy wants to bring devastation. I truly believe our country is in a devastated position because of the spirit of divorce and many other things that they are allowing to just go on. But it starts with the family. If the family's broken, the country's broken. So we have to come to this place of recognize that we got to take some ownership of our own lives and being able to take care of ourselves and those that are around us. So Brenda and I have been married, again, in a few weeks, be 43 years. And Brenda has not been the... And Brenda has not been the most easiest person to live with. Amen. And I mean, she looks all sweet and cute, but she had issues. Okay, and so did I.
Well.
Okay, I had. Oh yeah, yeah. Everybody, yeah, yeah. We know you got some, Pastor, but leave Brenda alone. But the enemy worked real hard to try to divide us, to get us to break off our relationship, our marriage. He worked very hard to do everything he could. He didn't win, but it wasn't because we didn't have challenges. Some of the people look at it and say, boy, I want a wife like Sister Godeau. No, you don't. Not until it's the finished product. Okay, or I want one like Pastor Godot. No, you don't. Until you get to finish. See, we're more the finished product right now. We didn't work through a whole lot of stuff. Are y'all with me? So, but and still got to still watch it. Still got to watch it. But the issue is that marriage has challenges. So I tell people like games. We're in the playoffs right now. The different, they got basketball and football stuff going on, and they got games going on. Isn't it amazing how somebody that's in the game, when they get injured, get hurt, that they'll just suck it up and still play in the game? Okay, forget y'all. I'll talk to this side. Y'all talking over here with me? Y'all with me over here? Y'all with me over here? How they just suck it up. They might limp off the thing for a minute, go over there and they wrap something, get them back, and they get back in the game because they love the game. They want to be in the game. See, God wants to have that same passion for marriage. Man, once I get married, and hell or high water, sink or swim, I'm here to stay. We're going to work through whatever we got to work through. We're not going to get out the game. Okay?
Amen. And this is Kingdom Principles for Successful Relationships in 2016. We're talking about what is happening right now. Many of you have already experienced divorce, separation for whatever reason, but that's in your past. We're talking about moving forth. We're getting principles for now. You know, God is good, and we know divorce is not the impardonable sin. Things happen, but when we come to Christ, all things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So they're new. We're moving forth. Now we're getting principles so that we can move forward. So we're not, as we go into this lesson today, is we're not condoning divorce. But at the same time, we're not condemning anybody for what has happened in the past.
Right.
We want to make sure we understand that. All we're talking about now is what we learn from what has happened before, and we move on. And for those that are new and youth, young adults, middle-aged, seniors that are still really wanting to be in a relationship with somebody, we want you to really listen closely for all the things that we're going to be dealing with, because you really want to make sure before you get in a relationship what you're facing because of all the people who have been in relationships and are going through unnecessary changes. Okay, God wants you to hear the principles of the word. He has a good plan for your life, and it's worth applying the word of God, and it'll be a great life.
So look with me in Genesis 2 and 24, and it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they shall become one flesh. So the word leave there in the Hebrew, it means to break one's dependency upon. To leave means when the man or the woman gets married is to break the dependency upon the parents. That's not to mean that the parents can't still be there to give wisdom or counsel, but I'm not going to be dependent upon them. I'm leaving to cleave. So it says, leave his father and mother, and then shall cleave. And the word cleave means to stick to like glue. It means to never stop chasing, to pursue after. And it goes on and on. So there is a leaving and a cleaving. And a lot of times, and I've seen it happen with marriages, where that the one or the other, the husband or the wife, is not mature enough to understand that when you get married, you don't bring your mama and daddy with you. Okay, I talk to this side again over here. You don't bring your mama and daddy. You leave them, you love them, but you now have a new life in this marriage, and now you have to learn how to leave, to break one's dependency upon, and now come in and down, you work on being dependent to each other. Your dependency is on her, or her dependency is on me. We work together, and we become one flesh. You don't become one flesh until you learn how to leave and then cleave. So this was God's plan. God made no provisions for divorce in the Bible, but it was Moses, if you turn me to Matthew, the the 19th chapter of Matthew. And Brenda was bringing out earlier about the concerning about, you know, just working together and learning something, because I think it's Proverbs 27 and 17, or right around that area, says, iron sharpeneth iron. Another friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. So there is challenges and things that come. But listen to me, Brenda is my helpmeet. I'm her husband. But she's a helpmeet to me. And the problem with a lot of times that people, they got their little chips on their shoulders and immaturity in their life. And so when you try to, she's trying to help me. And a lot of men can't listen to their wife when they're trying to help them, because they feel that they're nagging, but they're trying to help. So who do I look at right now? Do I talk to nobody? Nobody said nothing on that one. But it's an area of that they're trying to help. Women try to help their husbands.
Right.
They try to help them. And they're trying to help them by telling them something. But a lot of men, like, you know, they got an issue with too much help sometimes. So a woman has to learn how to balance how she ministers and how she tries to help him. But it's that sharpening.
Right, and that's also when a man is trying to help the wife. You know, she may be immature in some certain areas, and of course, she got to stop tripping about maybe he's immature in some areas. But the Bible, he places that the man is the head of the wife, and, you know, I'll talk to him about that when I get to heaven. But anyway, there are things that a man will try to help you with, and a lot of women can't handle things from the man because it feels like he's trying to dominate me or he's trying to control me. Because when it came to my spending and different things coming out of a big family and didn't have anything coming up, when I got married and got my job, it was like, I know you ain't trying to stop me from buying things. But I didn't understand that he was trying to save. He was trying to get lay a foundation for our future and different things on that line. So you may take it as someone trying to control you. So God puts us together, and if we allow the word to help us, that's where the iron sharpens the iron. And you go through different things, but love, like you said, the pain might be there in the game, but you get back into the game because you love the game. You stay in the marriage because you love the person you're married to. Not that you love everything about them, but you grow through the principles of the word of God.
So there was a family that was raised up in the country. They'd never been to the city. It's been country folks all their life. And one day they decided, we're going to go to the big city and see the big city. So they got in the car. Everybody's all excited. And they were just oohing and gawing around, looking at all the stuff. Went into this one building. And the doors just open up magically. Just open up. And then this old lady walked in real slow into the elevator, and then they closed, and then when the doors opened back up, a little young girl walked out, and the boy turned around to his daddy and said, did you see that? He said, yeah, I saw it. He said, go get your mama. Don't worry about it. If you didn't get it, don't worry about it. Amen. So if you look with me in Matthew, the 19th chapter. Are you there?
Yeah, I have it in the Living, New Living.
Okay, I don't want it in the New Living.
You don't want it in the Living? Mm-hmm. It's a good translation.
Okay, go ahead then.
Matthew 19, verse 4, it says, haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied, they record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. He said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? They asked. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. Then it says, and I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful.
So when we see that Jesus is speaking here, we got a lot of things that we need to be able to, to look at and to examine, because Jesus was still speaking under the Old Testament. But when we look at Paul, which we'll deal with, when we look under Paul, Paul is now speaking under grace. So the issue is here that he says that he made a man and a woman to get married, and then he says that let no man or attorney put us under. Okay? And then he goes in, and then he starts talking about here that in verse 8, and he says, and he said unto Moses, because that of the hardness of their heart, he suffered, or the word suffer means he permitted them to get a divorce, but it wasn't God's plan. Moses was, you know, over the children of Israel going from the Egypt into, they're in the wilderness, and now they're headed into the promised land. And he's got all these people, and they are cutting up crazily and royally. And then finally Moses just came up with something to try to resolve all the conflict that was going on, and said you could just, the man, you could give a right written of divorcement. And men were just divorcing their wives, what they call divorcing their wives, over scrambled eggs or over the grits. I know some of y'all don't know what those are. Or how too hard, too soft. Or over the way they dressed or whatever the case is. And they were just walking out of the relationship. The woman could not divorce the man, but the man could divorce the woman. And so they were just jumping in and out of relationship. But he said they did it because of the hardness of their heart. And so if you look with me while you're in Matthew, there, look with me in the 15th chapter of Matthew, Matthew the 15th chapter, in Matthew the 15th chapter, and look with me in verse 16. So he said they did it because of the hardness of their heart. It wasn't God's intent, but see, God permitted it, but it wasn't his will. God permitted it, but it wasn't his will. Watch me, listen to me. You're in a bank, and a guy comes into the bank to rob the bank. And you didn't do nothing, you permitted it. But it wasn't your will. Do you understand what I just said? Somebody said, well, I if I did it, no, you permitted it. If you didn't go and try to stop it, you permitted it. But you permitted it, but it wasn't your will. So God permitted something, but it wasn't his will. For man and woman to get a divorce, for the children to go through the suffering, the trauma of divorce that causes the cutting, the breaking, the crushing that goes along with that area. So here in verse 16, Matthew 15, 16, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whosoever shall enter in, whatever enter in at the mouth, goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceeded out of the what? Come on, everybody, proceeded out of the what?
Heart.
Coming forth from the
heart.
Which you put brackets around, coming forth from the heart, and they do what?
Defile
the man, or we could say defile the marriage. Mm-hmm. Defile the marriage. Look at verse 19. For out of the what?
Heart.
One more time. Out of the what?
Heart.
Proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blaspheming. Look what it says here, and blaspheming, it says, or we could also put in there divorce. It comes out of the heart. Then it says, these are the things which defile a man. Okay? Now, out of your heart. So everything that happens in your life comes out of your heart. Any of y'all ever been around somebody and they said something bad to you, and then they said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But see, they did mean it. It was in their heart. They just didn't mean to say it at that time. That's what they're saying. I didn't mean to say it, but they were just saying, I didn't mean to say it at that time. But it was in their heart. Because what's inside of you, come on, will come out of you. I think it's Proverbs 4 and 23 says, out of the issues of the heart flow, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So out of your heart flows the issue of life. If you don't like your life, then check your heart out. Because your heart got issues. That's why we got to be really careful that when we jump into a relationship with somebody, that we make sure that we find out what's in their heart. Now, the Bible uses the word heart like the area of soul or spirit. So sometimes he's talking about your mind, and then sometimes he's talking about your spirit. Here he's talking about your soul, your psuche, your mind, that in your mind or in your heart, that there is all these thoughts. Now, for instance, have any of y'all ever just walked in the bank and decided you wanted to rob it? I'm asking a question. Did you ever do that? You know why? You know why you didn't want to? It wasn't in your heart. I've been in the bank a lot of time. I ain't never thought about robbing no bank. You know, when somebody's going to rob a bank, that's in their what?
All right.
So then he says here, and so is the area of stealing, any kind of stealing. You thought about stealing it. It was inside of you. It was inside of you. You didn't accidentally fornicate. You didn't accidentally fornicate. It was inside of you. Oh, y'all don't want to say nothing. Huh? It's what's in you will come out. You made plans for it. Somebody said, I had an accident. No, you didn't have no accident. It was inside of you. You made plans for it. Come on, y'all. Lying, anything along that line. It said, what's in you will come out of you. So he said, Moses gave it because of the hardness of your heart, because they were not willing to do it God's way. So Moses just made a concession for them to do it the way that they wanted to do it. So he made a concession for it. And so a lot of times people are getting into divorces and things are happening because, see, divorce is just something that is a broken death to a relationship. When divorce comes, it's the death to the relationship. When divorce comes, it causes physical it's worse than physical death. And then also, divorce is death without burial, because the person who you got a divorce from is still alive, and they can still torment you, and you get tormented because they know all your personal stuff, and then you still see them and different things like that. So it's worse than burial. So because the person that dies, when they die, it's over with. They ain't telling nothing.
Right. Right. Right.
Y'all slow, but that's all right. So what happens is that divorce brings trauma. And trauma brings the tearing or the ripping, and also it brings separation distress. Separation distress. And trauma is injury. Trauma is being wounded in shock. It causes distress, anxieties, all the different things. So separation is a divorce without legal papers. Separation is an unofficial divorce with the exact same effects as a divorce, but leaves you in limbo. You're just uncertain what's going to happen. And so the enemy just works that all kind of ways. So it brings withdrawals, and it brings rejection and depression and great, great hurt and pain. So the enemy works all kind of ways to be able to try to destroy your life. So we look at all these kids nowadays and people wanting to get high everywhere. Yeah. Which side should I talk to right now? Because they're trying to drown a lot of the pain and the hurt. I deal with kids all the time that don't want to fight, don't want to do nothing. They don't even want to go to school. They don't want to do nothing. And they just messed up. I deal with kids coming to me wanting to get high, and they got cards. The doctors are giving out cards and everything they can to be able to promote the lifestyle of just not being able to be committed to nothing and just be stupid. So the enemy works really hard in destroying our kids and destroying your life. I ain't going to even ask you how many of y'all been high in here. But anyway, then, I just want you to know you can't afford to lose no more sales, brain cells, I tell you that. Man, somebody said, every time you get high, you lose some brain cells. I said, but I can't remember the last time. Well, okay. Or somebody said, I'm going to give you a piece. Somebody said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No. You can't afford no more pieces, baby. You'll be out there.
So one of our original scriptures was Luke 4:18. Basically, he has given us, the Spirit of the Lord is on us to preach the gospel. We're preaching the gospel. We're just trying to help, the scripture says, to heal the broken heart. There's a lot of broken hearts right now. And so we're teaching this so that we can learn from the Word of God how that we cannot move forward in continually breaking hearts and our hearts even being broke. Because if we follow the principles of the Word of God, God has a plan for us, and it's a good plan. Things that we're hitting right now, these are kind of heavy to take in, but this is the world we're living in right now. Because of some decisions that we've made, our family have made, different people around us. So we want to teach you the Spirit of the Lord is coming so that we can preach the good news. The gospel is the good news. If we'll follow the good news and follow his plan, because many relationships, I mean, it's really something how God will put two people together, and they're most of the time opposites attract. So you're meeting somebody and you're trying to become one flesh with somebody that is totally different from you. So that's why we need to find out, go back to the manufacturer to find out how to do this thing, because in the natural, we're going to be hurting each other because you're going to think one way and I'm going to think another way. So in relationships, all relationships, God, he just gives us the principles how to walk this thing out, because I believe it's his will, but he doesn't want us continually as children of God to be the ones that are still ripping and tearing one another. We should be the ones that are showing the light and how the word can work when you work the word.
So, amen. So look with me in Proverbs 18 and verse 14. I want this out the Message Bible and the Living Bible, Proverbs 18:14. And it says here in the King James, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can heal? Who can bear. So dealing with the area. Now look what it says here at the Living or the Message Bible. At the Living or Message Bible. Because this is what the enemy doesn't want you to say. And what happens in a divorce, it brings, and again, I'm emphasizing, we're not attacking people that are divorced. We're just trying to bring healing to those who have been divorced, because the church has basically ostracized a lot of people who have been divorced. And they make it the unpardonable sin. And I'm saying it's not the impardonable sin. It's bad. It's tragic. I hate it. God hates it. But listen to me. There's a lot of things that have been out of some people's control. We just want you to understand the importance of working together and doing everything you can to try to do everything you can to keep from going through that the suffering of a divorce. So here, look what it says. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Wow. What can you do when the spirit is crushed? And it talks about being able to work on being able to make sure. So many people running around here crushed. Give me to the Living Bible now. There's so many people dealing with crushed spirits. Nobody's addressing it. Nobody's talking about it. And nobody want to deal with it in the church because they're afraid that people are going to leave and nobody, you know, going to get offended or hurt if you start talking about divorce. We're not condoning it, but we're saying it's not the impartable sin. And we're saying you should do everything you can to fight to stay in that relationship and do all that you can. Look what it says here. A human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? So many people have been devastated. Their lives have been destroyed because of the selfishness of one or the other. And usually when divorce comes, it's because of a spirit of selfishness. Now, when we dealt with the area concerning out of the heart flows the abundance of life, or out of the heart flows adultery, fornication, thefts, murder, all those kind of things. They come out of sight of you or inside of you. So what happens is that the enemy uses that woundedness, that misunderstanding, that offense, that hurt, that he uses to magnify and then start festering in your life to bring forth the destruction of that relationship. That's why it's so important to communicate and talk and maybe have an honest relationship between each other and how to be able to deal with these different issues. So a crushed spirit, a wounded spirit, we also see it in the book of Proverbs 15, Proverbs the 15th chapter and verse 13 deals with it also, because we got to understand so many people are just bound. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Jesus says, I come to heal the brokenhearted. How many anybody ever seen one of these movies called The Living Dead or The Zombie, or anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's amazing how many people like that zombie, living dead types of blood and gore and all kind of stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you know what the reason, you know why I figured out why it's so popular? Because there's a lot of people that they're around are the living dead. And it came to crush broken spirits through relationships they gave themselves to, and somebody walked out on them. And it came to destroy their life. And therefore, now they're surviving. They look like they're alive, but they're just the living dead. Because the enemies did everything he could to destroy them. Can I have my rope for me, please? Now, I got this luggage up here. And this luggage is representative of a lot of people that are that they bring into relationships. See, when you get ready to get married, you better take your time and not be in heat and jump into a relationship. See, a lot of time I want to get married, but listen to me, what you really want to know is not to look at how good they look or how what they have and this have, because you really want to make sure that that person that you're getting ready to get in a relationship, you want to know what's in their head. What's in their head is in their heart. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, I just want y'all to notice something, that the difference between the luggage on this side and the luggage on that side. That's Brenda's side. This is my side. Did y'all notice that at all? Did you notice that at all? And when you get ready to get into relationships, see, people get into relationships and they don't know what the heck is going on in that person's life at all. Oh, you want me to get that too? I was gonna leave it too, you know, but see, that's why you need to get to pay attention to what's in that person's life, because they might leave something behind and end up hurting you down the road. Are y'all with me? So you got to really understand how the enemy works to be able to try to destroy a good, healthy relationship. So here we are. In life, now she wants to marry me. She's all excited about me, and I'm excited about her. And so I'm coming to her now. See, I'm coming to her, but I'm dragging. Come on, y'all. Come on. I'm dragging all this stuff in my life. See, I love her. But see, you can't always see this, and the only way you're going to see this sometime is through spending some time and finding out what's inside of them, because some people got a good game. They can talk. See, but they can only pull it up with it for so long. But see, what happens if you jump into the relationship with them and you don't pay attention to the luggage they're getting ready to bring into your life, you're going to have all kind of problems. Because look at here, the person that you're getting in relationship with that's dragging all this luggage can't go at the speed you want them to. They can't do a lot of things because they're dragging the luggage. And you're getting frustrated at them, but you should have tried to deal with some counseling and some working on that area, because you should have saw that. So if you talk to somebody and you say, listen to me, you want to marry me, we're going to go and talk to the pastor, we're going to get some counseling. They say, I don't need to talk to the pastor, I don't need no counseling. Listen to me, run like hell. Run. Run. Get on out of there, because they're going to drag some stuff into your life that they're going to crush your spirit, break your heart, cause some things to happen because you thought they were so good and they had it all together, but they can't help you the way you want to. They look good on the outside, but they messed up on the inside. So, and then the issue is that you got some people that you want to be able to, you want to go up in life. You want to go up in life, but you can't go where you want to, because especially if you married an ignorant man. Now, you got to be real careful that you don't get offended while I'm talking to you right now. But the issue is, if you marry somebody that's the wrong person, and then they turn it around, and, you know, they got all this stuff wrapped all around them, tied all up, and now they're trying to, you're trying to push them, and they talk like, I really want to be something, I want to be, go somewhere, but they got all this stuff wrapped around them, and now you're trying to push them, and you're frustrated because they can't go too high because they got all this stuff hanging on them, and you're pushing, you frustrated, but man, you don't realize they got all this stuff behind them they got to pull up. But if you'd have married somebody that was free, somebody that was delivered, somebody that was changed, you can be able to get them all unwrapped and untied, get that thing broken off of them, but they don't want to come. See, they don't want to come to church. They don't want to get no counseling, and then you still want to marry them. You stuck on dumb. See, you got to want to, listen to me, you got to be willing to make whatever changes that you got to do for yourself. If I'm going to get married, and it's a covenant, marriage is a covenant. It's not to be broken. Marriage is not a pledge. It's a covenant between you and that person. And God wants you to be able to win in life. He wants you to overcome in life. But it won't happen in life if you are still looking through the rearview mirror. See, the problem with life, God has a big windshield in front of you, and you stuck on the rearview mirror. I know why some of you stuck on it, because you're breaking the law. And so you're trying to see if the police is behind you right now. Come on. But God says, why you keep looking in the rearview mirror when I gave you a whole big old windshield in front of you, and your future is so much bigger than your past, but you're looking in the rearview mirror because you like looking at your past, because you're always bringing up your past. You're always bringing up what somebody did to you and how hurt you are and oh me and oh my. And God says, okay, when you gonna let it go and quit looking at this little small thing that's holding back your whole destiny, holding back your whole future? You might have looked once in a while, but go ahead, let's look. Look past that. Look at all that is in front of you right now. I'm telling you, somebody in here, you're going to get your deliverance. You're going to get your breakthrough. God, help us not to be looking in this little small thing when God's got so much ahead for us. See, this year, 2016, it's a breakthrough year for you. But you can't, listen to me, everybody has had some negative things. We've had some bad things happen to us. But you can't keep looking in the rearview mirror. And you can't keep talking about, oh, if I wished I'd have had this or did that, I wouldn't have did this here and that. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Pull yourself up. Come on. Sway your back. Sway your shoulders out. Do what you got to do. But I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to move my life forward. And if God's got somebody for me, if he don't have nobody, I'm still moving my life forward. I'm not going to stay where I am right now. I'm not going to keep living a life that I'm hurting and broken and crushed and destroyed because of what somebody did to me. I'm not going to let them control my life like that no more, in Jesus' name. Somewhere we got to get ourselves under control, and somewhere we got to quit being the victim and allow the enemy to continually victimize us. We can't climb the ladder that God wants us to. We can't go where we want to because we keep allowing other people to hold us down because we didn't take responsibility to do what we were supposed to do with them. And some people are not ready for marriage until they grow up. God knows that. All right, I'm finished. We finished. Now that you have heard the word, I'm asking you to open the door to your heart and ask Jesus Christ to come in. So you do that now. And if you ask to invite him into your life, he says, Lord Jesus, I open the door to my heart and invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. You do that. Christ is in your life. We're shouting with you, rejoicing with you. And so I'd just like for you to email us or write us or call, or you could get a hold of us through Twitter or Facebook at Philip Godot. At Philip Godot, Twitter or Facebook. And I tell you what, we're going to respond back to you. We're shouting with you. Looking forward to hearing more from you. Any prayer requests also. Okay.
Subscribe to us on YouTube and see the latest videos from Drs. Philip and Brenda Godot. It's easy. Just log on to YouTube and type in Philip Godot Ministries and then just click subscribe. The video messages are right there on your screen. And if you're out and about, we also have a smartphone app so you can catch the Godots on the go. The app is easy to find. Just search Calvary Christian Center for both Android and iPhone users. Stay informed, stay connected, and stay encouraged on YouTube and with our amazing app.